itfigurespodcast.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Stina.
Ding dong, Rick!
I have the sound effect.
I was giving you a couple seconds because I thought you were going to jump in there.
I wouldn't do that to you. And your Lord Killer. I wouldn't do that to you. That's rude.
Have you ever noticed that, like, arrowheads really make you salivate a lot?
No.
Yeah.
When I was just doing the intro, I just about spit all over, like, everything.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that's a different problem.
Maybe it is.
You're like,
is that separate from gleeking?
Yes. I can do that really well, too.
You know, don't blame airheads for your mouth problems.
I told you.
I told you I could do that.
Exclusive footage. That takes a lot of practice.
I wonder if people could even see that on the camera.
He does that to annoy me in the car.
That's funny.
Sometimes I spit on her face like that. Not like spit on her, but I gleek on her like that. She gets so mad.
Because I'm just in my car.
She's like, hey, when you do that.
I wish I could do that for Gwen. She wouldn't even know. I would never tell her. I just do it randomly. And she'd be like,
what is it, Rick? We have a hole in our ceiling.
I used to do that. I used to be real bad, dude. I used to do that, like, on the bus and stuff at school all the time to people. I'd be, like, sitting behind him. I'd be like...
That is wrong. Just gross and wrong.
I know. It's kind of bogus.
And
boxers are everywhere.
Junior high and high school, it was in band, and I would gleek on the chair next to me, and the kid would get so mad. it cracked me up.
Can you do it as good as I just did?
I did it.
You did?
Yeah, I think
did you
I
get
extinguished.
Killing?
Yeah, he was like, ugh.
I hope like I no, people myself. Can actually see that
I
on
just saw a shot of water go across the room.
Can we do 3D on YouTube? Hey. I want to make it look like
I'm... Yeah, go ahead and hit the camera.
Yeah, no.
Oh. That wasn't a very good one. The first one was way better.
That's changing them dramatically. We've got power and honors.
No, what? No, we don't.
Enough bodily fluid jokes, son. Yeah, so for all you people out there who hated people who do that, go ahead and post it on forums out how Pixel Dan is the biggest tool for doing that. Thanks. You ruined a lot of lives back in the day.
I ruined a lot of lives back then. Like,
thanks to you, I hate the rain.
On the YouTube.
Thanks to me, you hate the rain.
I would be kind of curious just to see how many people actually know the term gleeking.
I didn't know it was called gleeking.
But not the lame gleeking. Sorry if you guys are Glee fans.
Oh yeah, gleeks.
That's the first thing I thought of when I heard gleeking.
Well, Rick is too.
Gleeking out!
He loves the Glee.
I like Glee. I'm not even going to lie about it. I like that show.
Not even a front. That's all right.
Not even
keeping
front.
It real. Keep it
I'm
real.
Going to front and say I don't.
Keep it real.
Don't let him. He likes it. Don't let him lie. He comes in here and he's like, "Hey, did you watch an episode of Glee last night? Gwen was watching it. I was just there. But did you see it?
I heard a lot of stories like that."
And then I'm like, I sing. Did you hear this song? No. And I'm like, yeah, I hated it.
And then me and Killen go into a dance number in the store and sing. But at the end, he tells me he hated it.
You guys. You telling me you have synchronized,
well, only
like,
when you're not here. Definitely only when you're not here.
Yeah, because I don't want to look stupid in front of you. I really highly value your judgment.
Now I know why I come into work and you're singing Buffy the Musical music.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, we did.
Acting Buffy the Musical.
We sing that a lot around here, actually.
I touch the fire and it freezes me.
We listen to that on road trips all the time.
Yeah. I know, sometimes I'll be sitting here and just randomly I'll hear Damien and be all like, let me rest in peace.
It's been a couple years since I've seen it, but it's like engraved in my mind.
I know, right? It's such a good episode. Never leaves. It never leaves. I love Buffy.
If I ever see James Marsters play live, I want him to do that song only and then walk off stage.
That's the only song he's here for, folks.
Well, he did do that concert, but he only played for like 20 minutes, so he probably just did that.
20 years ago. Just that song over and over again for 20 minutes?
So, I like to rock. He left.
So you're not staying then? Right.
I'll play it again if you just stay.
T.N. Crumpets.
Well, I'm sure he did other songs like Happy Birthday, and the Saints Came Marching In.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely when the Saints Came Marching In. That's Spike's favorite song.
It's one of his favorites. He's known for it.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's talk about toys now. Toys. How about that? Yeah! Toy podcast!
Yeah.
Welcome to Rest in Peace, the Spike and Buffy podcast.
They should have got together.
We just lost 10 listeners and then gained like a million.
I'm your host, Slayer Dan.
I'm Buffy Killin'.
That's Buffy Killin'. Buffy Killin'.
No, you're like the normal.
What? No. No.
Just for fun.
So, you guys, I was just wondering, who do you think would win in a fight? Spike or that Edward douchebag from Twilight?
Spike, obviously. Douchebag.
Spike, for sure. That was Spike.
What do you think, Christina?
I like Twilight.
I like Twilight.
All right. Change the topic. Who would win a fight between Bill Compton and Spike? Definitely Spike.
Definitely Spike.
Yeah, but Bill Compton would put up a pretty fight.
And then he'd be all like, oh, suck it, Stackhouse. And then Spike would get him.
He's like, right.
Yeah, right. Suck it, Stackhouse. Oh, suck it. All right.
I just want everybody to know I do like True Blood.
I do too.
I do too.
I actually really like True Blood.
But for that purpose of that bit, we did not.
Hey, I gotta be honest. Bill Compton's kind of a loser. I like that show. He's kind of whiny.
Making bad choices, for sure.
I am not through with season 3 yet, so don't spoil anything. Really? We've got 2 episodes left of season 3. We're finishing them tomorrow.
I'm waiting for it.
And then we've got like a year until season comes out.
Then I have to wait until season 4 comes out on
season
DVD.
Season 4 is like through? Or?
No, it's on TV right now, right?
I know a guy that will hook you up.
Oh, yeah! Hook us up, bro.
Well, whatever.
Legit.
1 episode left.
Legit.
Well, season 1, right? 1 left. 1 left.
Season
1 left.
4.
And then we can watch it. I gotta wait till it's complete. Because I can't.
Yeah, you can't just like watch everything except for 1 and then go, ah!
Gotta wait till another week.
Gotta wait for another week! I know, I like watching.
We do that anyway.
I like watching actual seasons on DVD more than TV most of the time. Because I like
barrel through them.
Yeah, just watching it all the way through.
Do you feel that that has given you, like, ADD for watching movies at home?
Yes. But I think a lot of things have given us ADD these days.
Like, what do you
The internet is a big part of that.
Like soda.
Like, I can say.
Soda for sure, Mountain Dew. ADD.
Open a can of that turtle sludge. I'm pretty sure that's toxic. I might have done it.
I can sit on the couch for hours and watch a TV episode after episode of a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it very hard to sit at home on the couch and watch a movie anymore. Especially if it's a movie that I've already seen.
Oh, really? I can watch movies over and over and over. Yes. And over and over.
Yes, she can. But only if it's Grease and Grease 2,
oh, wow.
Or any of the Bring It Ons.
Oh,
or,
wow.
What's another one that... What's another one that you watch repeatedly?
You watch not another teen movie?
Oh, The Devil Wears Prada.
I swear
to God, The Devil Wears Prada is on in my house all the time.
These are the only ones that are on TV. If there's nothing else on, I turn them on.
And she will totally watch movies back to back. Like, if they're on TV, like one right after the other, and it's the same movie, she will watch them both. She doesn't care.
Well, that's good.
If it's Groundhog Day.
I can't do that.
I don't get to watch
Groundhog Day.
I don't get to watch any TV in my house.
You're halfway through it already, so I have to watch
T-Bow's
the first part of it.
Every show. And there's nothing I can watch.
All right, guys, welcome to the Entertainment Center. I'm Jonathan Leonard. We're talking movies and stuff now.
Wait, we can fix this.
I almost think now we should just stop this It Figures thing. let's just do like a regular general whatever the heck we want to talk about podcast, because that seems to be...
That's normally about 15 minutes.
That seems...
Well, we can't. We got to have some filler.
Okay. Okay, the toys...
We got time to fill, man.
The toys is the filler. Got it.
Yeah, got it. Oh, probably.
All right.
All Pez, all the time.
All Pez, all the time. All right, let's run down so this list here real quick. Not a lot of toy news today. First of all, Galaxor 006 went on sale today. And this isn't really as much as, hey, you guys better go buy it kind of a thing, as much as it's, I want to say congratulations to our friend Ben Spencer, because this figure sold out in under a minute today.
Woo! Oh, good job.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to wait for the 007 model.
Yeah, wait for 007?
Wait for the 007.
I wonder what his plan is for the 007. I'll tell you what, I know that he's doing an exclusive version of Galaxor for PowerCon. And he already sent me pictures of it, and it's kind of amazing. Sweet. Shh, but don't tell anybody that I saw those pictures. Nobody.
So wouldn't that be 07?
It might be 07. That's kind of what made me think of it. I don't know. Unless he's just calling it something different since it's an exclusive.
Oh, Handsome Ben.
Congratulations. Congratulations, awesome. Handsome Ben.
You're still hanging out with that douchebag?
Max. Max.
Fool
the
us
jerk.
Once. Fool us twice.
So, that is six versions of Galaxor down, and all six of them have, like, gone on sale and sold out, and he's still pumping through these. So,
that's
great work for Ben awesome. and for our friend Marty. You guys are awesome, man. You guys are just pumping
time
through
to
those.
Time to go to a large scale.
Or like, a new like character.
50.
I know that he was talking about doing a new character or something for the line. He should totally, like you got six Galaxors down. Let's get something new. I want to see a different figure.
You start mass producing them.
Mass produce, do it, Ben. Mass produce.
Or how about an anniversary set after 1 year? It has all the figures redone.
All of them.
It costs $4,000
Galaxor Classic and special exclusive packaging made of diamonds.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't
$6?
Why wouldn't for $6? I will buy one of those.
And you can supersize it. Get something else.
No, that is very awesome stuff. And if any of you guys out there don't actually know what we're talking about, make sure you check out Galaxor.com. That's with two X's, G-A-L-A-X-X-O-R. It's definitely a really cool figure. It's done by Ben Spencer. It's his design, his sculpt. Marty the God Beast Hansen's doing all the casting for him. Really cool stuff. And every time he produces a new one, he sells out immediately. So definitely something to keep an eye on if you want something unique for your toy collection.
And for all you guys on YouTube that were like, where's the pictures? Go to our site.
PopCultureNetwork.com. YouTube.
You can get all the articles that we're discussing right off there.
That's right. We're going to make you go to our site one way or the other. How about that? Oh, we like YouTube. We'll just stay right where we are. Oh, deal with it. No pictures for you.
That's too much editing work.
That's too much work. Look, you know us. Come on. We don't want to do that. all right. Another reminder for everybody, I wanted to remind everybody that now that we are in September, we are only like 3 weeks away from PowerCon and ThunderCon,
woo-hoo!
Which is the first ever He-Man and Thundercats convention. It's being held in Los Angeles, and it's September 24th and 25th. You can get all the information at thepower-con.com. Lots of incredible things are happening at this. For this being like the first time ever for like a He-Man convention, Mattel is going to be there. They've got a panel. They're revealing new figures. They've got the Matty Collector store is going to be set up. All four of the Four Horsemen are going to be there with their own panel. Many of the creators from the original line, like Mark Taylor, Roger Sweet, guys like that are going to be there. Characters who worked as voice actors on the original series are going to be there, such as... Melindy Britt is going to be there.
Alan Oppenheimer
is going to be there. So that's voice of She-Ra and Skeletor. A lot of the other actors are going to be there. Lou Scheimer is going to be there. Erica Scheimer is going to be there.
That is very exciting.
I mean, it's like a ridiculous list of guests that they've already got signed up for this thing. So, I mean, if you guys are fans of He-Man, and they're doing a lot of Thundercat stuff too. The He-Man stuff is definitely like the bulk of this. But there definitely is. I think Bandai is going to have some involvement for the Thundercats brand. They do have got a few panels set up for people that worked on. I think they're trying to get some people there from the new animated series, too. But there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, too.
What's the attendance looking like?
I'm not sure exactly what the attendance is looking like. I know that One of the things that they're doing is they've got the Roast Google Dinner, which is a dinner that you actually, they had tickets available for, fans can buy tickets to this dinner, and it's basically where you get to have dinner with a bunch of the creators. A lot of those people who I just named are actually going to be at this dinner, and you'll be able to sit at a table with them and talk to them and discuss over actually eating dinner. And they sold out of all the tickets to that. Uh-huh. So
how much was that?
I don't know exactly what the costs
were.
Were
they more than 50?
They were around like the $50 price range.
That's, well, I mean, it's a meal and...
It's a meal and you get a chance to... Yeah, you get to rub elbows with people who worked on the property. I mean, it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things going on here. And, you know, the hope is that we can turn this into, like, an actual ongoing convention like JoeCon and BotCon. Right. You know, we want to turn this into, like, a ongoing yearly He-Man convention and a Thundercats convention. So, and it's already grown huge for this being the first year. So definitely check that out. If you are in the LA area or if you can get out there, it's definitely something I think you guys will want to attend. I am making an appearance there officially now. I will be out there. And they just actually announced this week that I will have a screening of an episode of Power and Honor there, too. So that's kind of exciting for me, because this is the first time
I... Congratulations.
Thanks. This is the first time I've ever actually had, like, a screening of one of my videos with, like, you know, in front of a crowd. So that's kind of cool, and a little... it's a little intimidating, too. I'm not used to, you know, doing this kind of thing in front of a room full of people. I'm used to doing this to a room full of internet guys that yell first and tell me what's wrong with my videos. So if somebody doesn't stand up at this thing and yell first when the video's done, I'm just not going to feel right about it. That's all
I know. What you could do? You could shoot a video of you introducing your video and then just claim you have, I can't talk. I'm sick. You know, I lost my voice.
Print a cardboard stand-up.
So here's this. You'll do fine. Yeah, I'm not, I'm sure I'll be okay. I'm cool. I do the in front of crowds thing all the time, you know, that wrestling thing I do. I'm not real worried about it.
Whatever, name drop.
Wrestling. I just name dropped myself? Yep, totally. Name drop myself. Pixel Dan.
Pixel Dan.
He's so cool.
So, yeah, a lot of cool things going on there. Way cooler things than me being there. But I will be there, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. More toy stuff. Diamond Select Toys. We talked about these when they first announced them. And now images have popped up of Series 1 of their new Munsters toy line. These figures are supposed to be hitting stores in October. Looks like Toys R Us stores in October. Series 1 of these figures include Herman, Lily, and Grandpa Munster.
Awesome.
Yep, so they are already available for pre-order now, and it says that... Oh, it says if you pre-order the specialty store select versions, you'll get extra parts to build your own electric chair.
How about that? That is awesome.
So I guess if you're a Big Monsters fan, you should probably be buying these from specialty stores and not Toys R Us, because you'll get those extra
specialty
parts.
Specialty stores like...
ShopPCN.com.
We will probably carry those, being Diamond Select Toys, and they are the same as the current Universal Monster line they got out there. And it's been a while since they actually done the monsters, you know what I mean? I think SciShow had the last chance at them, and that was, early 2000, late 90s, so...
Yeah. I actually thought they looked really cool, too. And it looks like they're in
the
same...
pictures to load.
Oh, really? Yeah, they look really neat, and it looks like they come with a bunch of accessories, so... I'm sure these will be very popular.
Yeah,
actually.
They're overdue.
I guarantee that these will be very popular. So, very cool. Definitely check that out. All right, here we go. Ask Maddie answers. Yeah, these are super exciting answers from Mattel.
I'm picking up on some sarcasm.
I don't even read them anymore, because what did we not ask yet?
It's like the same cut and paste answers.
How did they blow us off this?
All right, so here we go. Here's the questions we asked for the last round of Mattel questions. The first question was, now that we've finally gotten Movie Masters Jim Gordon, and we're getting an Honor Guard disguised Joker, will we be able to get a Liam Neeson Ra's al Ghul at some point? I know it's one character in particular fans have been waiting for from the beginning, preferably in his armor when he's training Bruce. But him in a suit would also be awesome. Mattel says, we are definitely looking into more Movie Masters figures from the previous Batman films. Only time will tell. Now, you should know that, like, anytime you ask Mattel, are you going to make this figure? Their answer is always going to be...
as bland.
Maybe. We'd like to do it. Yes, probably. Sometime. You're never going to get a direct answer from them. So, that's just...
That would be a good character, too.
It would be cool, and I'm surprised that they haven't
done that yet. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, question two was, I know you can't comment specifically on if and when, but following this big DC reboot, is a Stephanie Brown Batgirl figure off the table, or could she still appear in either DC Universe Classics subscription or the Batman Legacy line? Mattel says, all versions of Batgirl have and will continue to play an important role in the DC Universe, so Stephanie Brown Batgirl is definitely not off the table. So there you go, Batgirl fans.
So yes.
They can still do that figure.
And they will.
And I think there's been a lot of confusion with, like, the reboot of DC on what Mattel can and can't do, right, and what DC is, like, trying to regulate on them, but...
They still own their own properties, so... I don't think they're ready to push the 52 until it gives a little bit more into, like, maybe 6 months to end.
You think they'll wait that long before they start?
They don't know what's popular yet.
That's true.
If they're gonna push, you know, waves of figures or this whole Club Infinite Earths specifically on 52, why have they not done something similar with previous reboots or story arcs with the line that they've already done? Because that would have opened up the realm of characters so
much. Well, they've never done one that's such a dramatic change as this one. They have, when they've done, you know, they reached it, the, you know, 0 hour times back then and in the 90s, and I don't even remember, so many times they've done similar things, but they do release the figures, but they generally follow months after the actual event, and that's just because it takes so long to plan out figures.
Right.
So, and we haven't seen anything from DC regarding the new 52 yet, so I can only imagine probably by the time we go to the Toy Fair in February, you know, they'll have all this stuff coming out, but who knows?
Right, the third question, now this is actually a pretty good question, because there's been a lot of people asking this specifically to us recently. It says, for the new Voltron Collectors line, do you have to use the keys from the pilots in order to transform the lions, or will you be able to transform them manually? Some collectors may not want to buy the pilots and only want to buy the lions. Mattel says, the keys are not required to transform the lions. You can still activate the features without the key.
Good.
So there you go. I know we've actually had people specifically asking us on That New Toy Smell and stuff if that was possible. So there you go, guys. You don't need the keys. If you just want to buy the lions, you'll be safe. All right, next question says, I couldn't see any news at all on the Back to the Future line in any of the San Diego Comic-Con news or releases. Are there still plans to move forward with figures at this point?
That's a good point.
Yep. Mattel says, we're really excited of the idea of Back to the Future figures, but at this time we have not found a cost structure to allow us to afford the tooling on a line like this. It says, unlike, for example, Ghostbusters or Masters of the Universe, there is no shared body bucks between characters that would save us money on overall tooling. Each figure would be a 100% new sculpt. We will continue to look into this, but we have nothing to announce yet beyond the Hot Wheels. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it just doesn't sound very good for Back to the Future.
I just can't imagine it costs so much money to make toys.
I have, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like,
I know. But after we went to that Toypocalypse thing and we saw exactly how many pieces are on a figure.
Yeah.
I guess it put it in a different perspective, but it just seems like, you know, them being the biggest toy company and having that much money, that they would produce enough toys or anything to make their money back. But I just don't understand why it's so expensive, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, it's just...
It just seems...
I don't know, like, I've heard, too. Yeah, I mean, I've heard guys like Eric Treadaway of the Horseman have tried to explain. He's explained to me before, like, the cost that goes into, like, the actual molds and everything like that. And according to him, it's like, you know, a six-digit number for, like, a mold for a action figure, you know?
For a mold?
Yes. And so it just seems crazy,
it just
you know?
Seems
it
like
seems
impossible,
so expensive.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
That
so
doesn't even seem like we would get figures at all.
You think Mattel would have their own factory by now, like, their factory in the United States that they
instead
produce,
of outsourcing to
since
China.
They, you know, this many years into production. You think, you know what, maybe we should just do
I wonder
our
if it's
own.
Just cheaper, though, still.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
I mean,
it's
got to be the reason they're doing it the way they are. All right, the last question says, now that you've acquired the Masters of the Universe filmation rights due to your deal with Classic Media, do you have any plans of acquiring other fan-demanded filmation properties such as Brave Star, Black Star, or Filmation's Ghostbusters? My response to that is, sorry, we can't comment on any of the acquisitions of new licenses.
Oh, so, they totally are. There's no
that,
way.
That just makes me... First of all, I mean, I understand that they're not going to comment on that kind of thing, but the way they word it always makes you go, huh, maybe they are actually looking into that.
There is no way they just secured Masters. They probably secured the whole
remember, they also needed that to do Voltron. Because Classic Media also owns Voltron. Right. And that's how they're doing the Voltron stuff, too. And because remember, we thought about that right before San Diego. We were going, well, this Voltron stuff's coming out. They've got something going on with Classic Media. There has to be something happening. And then lo and behold, there's the Filmation rights for Masters.
Well, I mean,
so it's like,
there's no way that the lawyers in Mattel were like, okay, we're going to make this deal. But then in a couple months, we're about to come back and remake another deal.
Yeah.
Make another deal. They had to do a blanket deal.
Maybe Mattel just bought the entire catalog.
I don't know. Like, well, the way they explained it was they didn't actually purchase the rights. They just worked out some sort of deal with
them. They're leasing them.
So, like, I don't know if it's like they've got so many years to produce whatever they want to, or I have no idea how deep it goes. Right. I just know that it's some kind of a partnership because Classic Media is also, like, you know, they're producing, like, apparel lines and all this other stuff using the Masters of the Universe property.
Right.
So they basically worked out some kind of deal where Mattel was like, all right, we get access to all these characters from Filmation to do toys and stuff,
you guys can use
He-Man to do t-shirts and stuff like that. You know, they worked something out where, I don't know how it works, but they did specifically say, we didn't purchase these rights, we just worked out a deal.
Right. I couldn't imagine what the price tag on that would be anyway.
To actually purchase it? Yeah.
That's probably why they're leasing it.
How many millions of dollars?
Oh, man. Well, I know that the reason it took them so long is because Classic Media wanted to sell outright everything, and Mattel didn't always want to buy the entire thing. They just wanted Masters.
I mean, that catalog has passed hands
A
good handful of times in the last 10
Hallmark
years.
Hallmark had it for a while, I know. Hallmark might still... Does Hallmark still have it now? I don't know.
It just makes sense for them to buy the whole thing, though.
It
seems like they could sell off what they don't need, but they'd keep it because then they retain all the rights.
I don't know. Maybe it's just that expensive. I mean, they just don't want to invest in it.
If Hallmark can buy it, Mattel could buy it. I think Mattel has a higher rating than Hallmark, I would think. They have more money.
I have no idea. It's probably more expensive. It's probably more expensive than it was when it was in Hallmark's hands, too. But I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, it very well could just be one of those things where the exact, you know, item or property or whatever isn't necessarily worth anything, but because Mattel wants it so badly,
it could be that. Yep.
All right, give us $7 million.
Oh, we see what you can do with this.
Just something completely crazy.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it's more expensive than Mattel than it is to anybody else.
Jeez. Cool. All right, well, that was the end of the question. So really, there weren't some bad ones there. There was actually some pretty good questions asked this time. I do want to bring this up real quick, because it always seems like a lot of people get really confused when we post these. So let me explain exactly how the Q&A thing works. What happens is we have to turn these questions in at the first of the month, and the 15th of every month and the last day of every month. Mattel doesn't, like, turn around and answer those immediately. We get the answers, like, if we submit questions on the 15th, we don't get the answers until the first of the next month. Because I keep seeing, like, I'll collect the questions, I'll send them off, I'll post the answers that Mattel sent us, and people are always like, where'd my question go? Where's my question?
It's like
no. Yeah, I sent those this time, we'll get the answers next time. So that's the way it works, guys.
They have to answer it, and they have to go through legal.
Yeah, they have to go, and they send it to each of the different departments that works. Like, so if we ask a DC question, a Masters question, a WWE question, well, it has to go to each of the different departments in Mattel, and they answer the questions, and then they compile them back together and they send them. So it takes some time. It's not an immediate thing. And also, like, they skipped like two Q&As around San Diego time, and then the one right after that we missed. So there was like three sessions where there wasn't any answers. So I know a lot of people were kind of like confused. We should be back on track now. But that, just think of it that way. If we submit questions on the 15th, you're not going to see those answers until the first of the next month. So you got to give it some time.
It's kind of like a paycheck. It's a new job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Totally, it works like a paycheck. Yep. Okay, let's go and take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up some toy news. And then we're going to... we're going to tell some fun horror stories about buying toys online, following up on last week's discussion. So we'll be right back.
What it is, friends. Sweenholic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Sock at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Hi, I'm Alan Price.
And I'm Chris Vinn. I also do a podcast called Master Universe Chronicles.
But we're not here to talk about that.
Will He-Man and She-Ra have also been on the show?
To my vein and to the annoyance of my entire life, yes, this is Operation Retro Shock, and he managed to get me to let He-Man on the show.
Ah, the power, you see.
But He-Man is not what we mainly cover. We cover loads of retro things, be it the 80s, the 90s. I know you can't really class the noughties as retro, but we'll talk about stuff from then anyway.
We're not naughty though, right?
No, we're far from naughty.
Okay.
But we cover things like Back to the Future, Doctor Who, Star Wars, Batman, you name it. We'll either have done it or gonna do it.
Yeah, so obviously you listen to podcasts that's on popculturenetwork.com, very much like ours. Ours is uploaded, 2 weeks out of four on a Sunday. So then you can listen to all the retro goodness, and you can even contribute if you want to. You can head over to the Pop Culture Network forums and type in there what you'd like to see. Heck, you can even buy a t-shirt with an Operation Retro Shock logo on it.
And you could be entered in the competition. So yes, join us every other Sunday for some retro goodness.
Oh yeah, dig it!
Space, the final frontier. These are the podcasts of the Pop Culture Network. Our 5-podcast mission, to celebrate 45 years of Star Trek, to explore the television series, feature films, and fandom that have fueled this influential science fiction franchise for nearly 5 decades. To boldly go where no fan discussion has gone before. Join us this September as we celebrate the 45th anniversary of Star Trek through a series of special edition podcasts, only on the Pop Culture Network.
Are you a fan of Mattel's Masters of the Universe toy line? How about Princess of Power, New Adventures of He-Man, or 2000X Masters of the Universe? Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan, and my new show, Power and Honor, the World of Masters of the Universe Toys, takes a look at all of the above-mentioned lines. In every episode, I'll take a look at a different action figure, vehicle, or playset from the world of He-Man. It's a great place where you can reminisce about your favorite toys from the past, or even learn some things that you may not have already known. A new episode airs bi-weekly on He-Man.org and PopCultureNetwork.com. Swing by and check it out. Good journey!
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
Welcome back from the break! Did you guys enjoy the commercials, which are the same commercials you hear every single time we record?
But now in stereo.
But now in stereo!
That's a lie. They were the same way they've always been.
Always the same. Okay. Alright, here we go. On with the news. Trucking on. This goes right along with that stuff we've been talking about for the last, like, 25 weeks.
Voltron?
Nope.
DC?
DC Club Infinite Earths is a go!
Oh, no.
It's happening.
That's crazy.
Again? The subscription is happening. We did not talk about this yet. Oh. Well, Dirt talked about it on That New Toy Smell, because the news broke right before we finished editing That New Toy Smell for the week. We haven't talked about it on the podcast yet.
Oh.
So, here's the press release from Mattel. It came out just late last week. It says, we have some good news. The 2012 DC Universe Club Infinite Earth subscription program is moving forward. As you know, we did not hit the number of subscribers we were seeking for the club, but we know that there are some very passionate DC fans, so we found a way to make the program work. Current subscribers will get 6-inch and oversized figures according to the schedule that was originally communicated at San Diego Comic-Con and online. All figures that have been revealed will be part of the subscription program. In order to make the program work, we needed to raise the prices for day of sales. So, if you are not a subscriber, you will be paying more for the figures on the day of the sale.
Topanga.
The good news for subscribers is that you are locked in at the subscription rates previously advertised. So, taking a quick break, that's exactly what we predicted was going to happen last week. They are raising prices on DC.
I like
figures.
Their wording, though, to make sure you understand. If you subscribe, we're not going to screw you over.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
time.
So they didn't say exactly how much.
But for everybody else, Topanga.
Yeah, Topanga.
No one else can subscribe, right?
Well, here we go. Oh. Continuing on. Even better news is that we are exploring reopening the subscription program for a limited window of time. We've heard fans online posting that they wish that they had subscribed, so now you'll get that chance. Be on the lookout for more details and dates next week, which is this week. So they might be opening the subscription back up, which means you could save some money if you are planning to get all those DC figures. So right. Now that it's happening, if you're skeptical, you might want to go ahead and jump on board now and subscribe.
Or you'll lose your chance.
Or you'll lose your chance and you'll be paying extra money. We have still even more good news. We are excited to reveal the winning club exclusive figure, Metron. So all of the subscribers will get their very own Metron along with his Mobius chair.
That's weird.
All of this good news will hopefully mean a fabulous start to the weekend for all DC Universe fans. So, Metron's the exclusive figure. The subscriptions are probably going to open back up sometime this week, or they'll at least have news on it this week. If you don't subscribe, you're going to be paying extra for the figures the day of. We just don't know how much extra yet. So, overall...
Didn't they say it was going to be like $2?
They said it was probably going to be $2 or so. We'll see if that's actually what it is.
And if you're going to cherry pick anyways, $2.
I was going to say, honestly, this is probably good news.
Yeah.
DC Universe isn't dead. Anybody that subscribed is going to get their toys now. You know, the figures that we were worried about not getting made are going to get made. So they'll be a Poison Ivy. And I will cherry pick, and I don't mind paying a couple extra bucks. I'll try to probably get Poison Ivy when she goes on sale. I just hope the white screen of death doesn't prevent cherry pickers from getting their DC figures. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's pretty much we guessed it. We knew they were going to do it anyway. We, you know, we assumed once they said that they were thinking about it, we assumed that they were going to raise the prices. So I guess the only question that leaves is, do you think we have to worry about the price raises on any other brands since they're doing it on DC?
Ready to test it here. See what happens.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
So the next season
testing the waters. Yeah, so that next year when it's time to subscribe for Masters, they'll go, oh, by the way, if you don't subscribe, you're going to pay an extra $2 or $3 per Masters figure.
Don't get people to subscribe.
Because they already laid the groundwork about we didn't sell that many subscriptions this year.
Yep, they're totally laying the groundwork, and they've already specifically said, you know, we haven't raised the prices on Masters figures since we started this line. No other toy line does that. It's almost like they're setting you up for saying, prices are going up, right. You know. So, I think it's only a matter of time, honestly. And, I mean, it's inflation.
Got
so
that shipping
cost
back, more people buy those toys.
That's for sure. Find a way to save that shipping. God, it's so they're so expensive for one figure. It's like $10.
It's crazy.
I just can't believe they don't have retail support on
it. It's been dark.
It just seems impossible.
Retail support?
Yeah, you would think this line would totally have been something that went to retail. A classics line? And if you could, if they would have worked, if Mattel would have worked hand-in-hand with Toys R Us, Walmart, to make sure that you're getting the current waves and correct amount of that wave, I think the line would have been fine. You know, so they don't get like 4,000 cases of wave 2, but no cases of wave 3, 4,
that's
5.
That's just scary to me to think about.
12 cases of wave 6.
Only because of what 7. Happened last time. And, like, I don't know. I'm one of those people who I'm totally fine with not having to go to all the stores to hunt down the figures I want. I like the idea that I can just subscribe and get everything sent right to me. Even though it's kind of expensive, and even though we don't get to see every figure up front when we subscribe, I do like not having to hunt them down in source.
There was a time when I enjoyed the thrill of the hunt, but the thrill of the hunt has become a big pain in the rear
end. Too, like, frustrating now.
Yeah,
it's gotten to a point where it's just, like, it's stressful trying to find the things that you want.
Because the people that are ordering in the toy departments are dum-dums.
Yeah.
They don't understand that
yeah.
You got to move this product and get the new stuff. You can't hold on to, like, there must be a guy who goes in every quarter, I think I'll do a toy order this quarter. Okay, I'll see you next quarter. Totally skipping the waves that come out in between. And they're like, how come we didn't move 6 million units of Power Girl? Why is she still on the peg?
Why is she still there?
I thought the storyline was hot.
Call Mattel and let's have that line canceled. We only want Batmans and Supermans from now on. That's it. See, that's the thing that scares me. The retail stores always step in and go, you know what we need more of? He-Man and Skeletor, definitely, because they're the main characters. Make that happen, Mattel. And then we run into those stupid problems where there's, you know, 3 Lionos and 3 Mummers per case and 1 Panthro. I mean, you know, that's
Chitara.
That's the retailer's fault that happens.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what I think sucks. Yeah.
Like I said, they got just some suit running the show.
Yeah.
and they should have somebody who's actually knowledgeable. Why don't you promote some of your people that actually know what they're doing?
Because they're afraid to. No, remember, because Toys R Us doesn't hire collectors anymore. They only hire stupid kids that don't know anything, so they don't hide the product for themselves.
Yeah, but do you have any Hot Wheels? That seems to be the only thing that's constantly in stock correctly.
Hot Wheels.
Right?
All right, last bit of news for the day. It's actually quite a bit of Thundercats news coming from Bandai.
Ooh, Thundercats news.
Right. Yeah. Dan Killen loves the Thundercats. Let me tell you what.
No, I'm just over it. I'm over it.
Oh!
So,
I'm over it.
I know, it just started and he's already over it.
I'm already over it.
So, Bandai actually just did an interview with MTV Geek, and they actually just had a lot of information about, like, the Thundercats line. To start it off, they basically said that the initial response to the launch of the line has been phenomenal, and that's been from a sales perspective and a fan perspective. So apparently the figures are selling really well up front, which I think we expected, and we right. can see that they're selling well up front.
I just want SWAT cats. I don't care what
SWAT cats.
Yes.
Yes.
3 3/4 SWAT cats.
Let's do it.
In jets.
In jets.
I would totally buy those. You have no idea.
I'd be excited for that.
I love SWAT cats.
I want some Silverhawks.
Silverhawks. Well, hold on. Let me keep reading these. This is some good news in here.
Give me some good Silverhawks.
All right. So, they were kind of talking about, you know, MTV was asking him in relation to the animated series, the kind of things we're going to see in the toy line coming out. They said that they currently already have in production Mumra's Storm Charger, which is the little his own version of the Thunder Tank that he was driving in the series. It says so we can look for that to be made into a toy, and I think they said early next year sometime is when that'll probably be coming out. So that's kind of crazy. Of course, when that thing came rolling out on the cartoon, I was like, that's totally a toy. I was like, they designed that thing to be a friggin' toy. You know, they do that sometimes in cartoons, so whatever. Talking in the 6-inch scale, they were saying that the, I guess, two of the next figures they're going to do in 6-inch scale are Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat, and that they are going to pack them together. So unlike the 4-inch figures where they separated them for some reason, they are going to pack these two together, which is probably a good idea.
It's going to be weird.
Why weird?
Because they're so small. Like,
well, that's why they're putting them to be in the same box for the 6-inch scale, because they're like 3 inches
apiece. I think everybody likes the 8-inch scale the best anyways. Why are you bothering?
Well, okay, I think a lot of people like the classic Thundercats the best, not necessarily the 8-inch scale. That scale's too big, man. That's too big.
I like it.
They need to tone it down a little bit. That's huge.
I like that over the...
Just scale it back 1 inch, and I'll be fine. Make them 7 inches like the Masters, and I'll be totally cool.
They want to show... No, because when you're making toys... The tallest toy wins.
Yeah, exactly. You know what we gotta do? Definitely make sure Lion is bigger than He-Man. Just so people know. Just so they know. They told me.
Next year, 9-inch.
They just keep getting bigger every year.
9-inch Silverhawks come.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
That would be big.
That's every time a new every time a new line gets announced, it's 1 inch bigger than the previous hot line.
Yep.
All right. They will be releasing Mumra in his final form in the 4-inch scale, and they did say that this figure will be so big he will actually be released in an entirely different scale so that he's in the correct size of the other 4-inch figures. Now, if you guys watched last week's episode, you actually got to see Mumra's third form. He's never had a third form before, I don't think. But yeah, he was huge. He was gigantic. Mm. So that's kind of neat that they're already working on that figure. Here's the fun one. That makes a lot of people happy, I think. Bandai said that they do have the rights to make toys of Silverhawks and Tiger Sharks related characters that appear in the new Thundercats series. Very now, the reason for this, if you guys, again, saw last week's episode, you saw that the Tiger Sharks were in the series, in the show, in the episode, and Monstar, the villain of the Silverhawks, made a quick cameo appearance in this episode as well. And then... they came out even though that was last week's episode, deal with it. The company that's doing the animated series did come forward and confirm that the Silverhawks and the Tiger Sharks were part of this new canon, this new Thundercats canon, so they're all going to be in the same universe. We haven't actually seen the Silverhawks yet, but I'm really hoping that at some point we actually see the actual Silverhawks show up. And it's cool to know that Bandai's got the rights to do those. So at some point, we might see these in the Thundercats toy line, which is awesome.
Copper Kid.
So awesome. No way, Quicksilver, dude. Tally ho! One last thing they did mention, that they are working very closely with Bandai Japan for the collector scale pieces to try to make fans happy as far as articulation and all that goes. Which is apparent, I guess, in the 8-inch scale, because those are probably... Those are honestly probably the most articulated I've ever seen an actual Bandai figure be. I've never seen a Bandai figure have that much to it that's not a Bandai right. Japan figure. So I guess that's apparent. I think they just got a little bit more to go. They're not quite there yet. Keep working,
guys.
To
give his round eyes all the crabby toys.
Yeah, they do, right? Dude, Bandai Japan makes great stuff. I don't know why Bandai America can't. And the Thundercat stuff is cool. It could be a lot better.
Yeah.
Looking at what Bandai Japan puts out, it's like, you guys are like the same company, right? Why aren't you making the same kind of toys as each other?
I don't get that good stuff.
Because they made that awesome freaking Mega Man.
Japan keeping us down.
I got that amazing Mega Man figure.
You and your PlayStation.
That's Bandai. You and your PlayStations. Okay, so that's the end of the toy news. Now, what I kind of wanted to do for the rest of the show, last week we were telling some horror stories of, like, ordering figures online, specifically through Kmart.com, because somebody on our forum had posted a terrible story. And so we had asked people to submit, like, their own horror stories. So I actually have a stack here of a lot of people who came onto our forums. And there was a few new posters who just heard the podcast and came over, and they posted stories. So that's really cool. So I thought we'd kind of...
People are paying attention. All right.
Yeah, I thought we'd kind of blow through some of these and discuss what we want to discuss. But all right. So we're going to start with this story here from forum member Wheezy, who says, I have experienced different levels of this kind of mess. Let's start with shipping to different carriers. I ordered the San Diego Comic-Con Stay Puft from good old Maddie. After days of trying to track it, I called Digital River. I called their Digital River office in Montana. I was informed that they sent it first through this one carrier who just ships the order by FedEx to our local post office. Then they deliver the package to us. Great, so Mattel and Digital River are also using multiple companies to ship one package. And that's exactly, wasn't that what Scott was talking about? How, I think Scotty was saying that exact same thing happened to him.
Yeah, FedEx to our post office, and then the post office.
And that was through Maddie, too. Yep. So he says, now let's move on to Kmart. They had a Transformer Human Alliance Mudflap on their site. This figure was never released in the United States. I figured I would go ahead and order it since the twins were the only ones that I wanted. I got my shipment a week later. To my surprise, there was Bumblebee. I called and complained. They told me the same BS, that when they don't have an item, they just ship you something else instead. So this is exactly like the story from last week. Yep.
That's such an impossible...
There's a couple Kmart stories in here, so yeah. All right, so the last thing he's on here, he says, one day I was in Walmart looking to pick up the WWE Elite DX, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels. I grabbed the last two, but something didn't seem right. They were both missing their accessories. Then I looked again. They weren't even the Elite figures. They were the figures from the basic two-pack. I brought this up to the employee in the section, and she said, yeah, this happens all the time. The girls at the front don't know the difference, and they're not supposed to question the customers. I was shocked. Then looked in the cart she was pushing with the returns and grabbed the top figure, looked at her and said, you're telling me that the cashier accepted this Finley figure, who was a white guy, but didn't notice the boxes and chose Mark Henry, a black guy. Give me a break. And then I left. Okay, we were talking about that last week, too. The people that buy things and then take out what they want and put something else in and then return it to the stores.
Well, let's be honest. It could have been an error packaging too, though.
That's true. It could have been, but probably not. Which makes it awesome. But yeah, that's a bunch of really
good. I love the pictures that people post of returns that are incorrect.
Oh man,
these are awesome.
So, Pogo still posts those like every day, and I just love looking at those crazy things.
People just doing it to do it now, you know. But good for them.
good for them. Jeez. All right, let's see. Let's go on to GrayFox6667, who says, hey guys, I highly enjoy your show. I just wanted to comment about last week's It Figures with your Kmart horror stories. Earlier this summer, I was randomly looking around at Kmart.com, and I found listed Wave 2 of Thor and Captain America figures. I was very excited because they had listed Crossbones, Red Skull, Destroyer, and a few other figures I knew would be impossible to find at retail. I placed my order and I waited patiently. When I received the package, every single figure of the 10 that I had ordered was wrong.
Wow.
I was highly upset and I called customer service just like everyone else, and I was told to go to the store to return and get a refund. When I got to the store, it was a nightmare trying to return the figures, and I was easily at customer service for 45 minutes. I also failed to realize that Kmart.com had sent me an 11th figure. This is just like the other guy last week.
Yeah.
Sent me an 11th figure, and I only discovered it when I went to the store to return the package. The customer service rep was completely confused because there were 11 figures and not 10 like I had ordered. It took her quite some time to realize that mistake. Later, I was told that Kmart.com actually ships how they actually ship their items. They go by the SKU code on the back of the product, not the item description. Items are pulled from the stores in the area that have the listed SKU in stock and then sent to your house or for another store for pickup. So anytime you order from Kmart.com, a random person from a random Kmart store just goes by the SKU code and throws the item in your box. They don't go by the picture or the item description, which is listed on the website.
What it sounds like is just like at Walmart or Target or anywhere, whenever they pack out products like that, they assign a product code
yes.
for their
Toys R Us does
store.
The same thing. Yep.
So that same number is given to every character in that entire
yep.
wave.
Yep.
It's not designated by character, so you're actually ordering a number, not a figure.
Yep.
How is this not a... Hey, we're having a meeting Friday. We're going to discuss how we're dum-dums and
yeah.
we're selling product that is not exactly what we have listed. That's a problem. We might want to fix that. Yeah, we'll get to it.
I know. It's stupid. So he goes on and says, that's why there's so many mistakes on their orders from their website. So I would highly suggest not ordering anything from their website because they're always going to make mistakes. I don't know if any other toy lines have individual SKU codes for each individual figure, but Marvel, Thor, Captain America figures definitely do not. And this is what you said. It's actually the store assigning that SKU, not the figures themselves. Because they do all have their individual barcodes on there, but the store assigns their own product SKU
right.
for all the Captain America figures, for all the Thor figures. Because that's Toys R Us was the exact same way when I worked
right.
there. They were the same way.
It's basically just a way for them to...
track.
Yeah, keep track, but not have to keep track of every single last
yeah.
thing. It's like they're looking at it like,
now, of course,
we have 12 Captain America figures instead of a Captain America and, you know, each individual character.
Now, of course, what's wrong about that is they should not be listing these individually on their website with individual descriptions and individual pictures
right.
if they can't actually give you those individual figures. That's what doesn't make sense. It should be one button that says Captain America figures, and you get whatever they send you if
it
that's the way they're going to do it.
Randomly picked.
Yeah. Like, they can't list out Crossbones and Red Skull and Captain America with their own descriptions and their own pictures if they're just going to give you whatever the hell they want
right.
to give you. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a bait and switch.
So he goes on to say, to add insult sure. to injury, after my ordeal, I called the Kmart 1-800 number again to complain about what had happened. After talking to an Indian outsource call center for roughly 10 minutes uh-huh. and realizing that nothing was going to be done to make the order right, I began to end the call. When I said I was going to hang up, the Indian outsource agent said she was sorry, and then... she tried to sell me a refrigerator.
What?
Yes, she wanted to upsell me to a new $1,000 refrigerator. I did not take her up on her offer. Anyway, guys, I enjoy the show and keep up the good
wow.
work. How ridiculous is that?
That doesn't even make any sense.
I know.
Kmart is just totally random.
Yeah.
How? You know, first of all, who shops at Kmart anymore anyways?
I feel bad for laughing, because I'm not laughing at him. This situation is that ridiculous. That's like...
you're not happy with the figures you ordered. That's okay. Can I help you with the refrigerator?
It
must
have been something where, like, in their call center, they were like, sell refrigerators. You have to sell this many a week or something. So they're just offering it to everybody.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is
like, sir, this is going to sound ridiculous, but would you like to buy a refrigerator? Yes, I would.
You know,
okay,
figures,
we'll
so
ship you a microwave.
More money.
Yeah, they'll send you a microwave. That's not what I ordered. Take it back to our store. Get your money back. This is not how business is done. You know, this would never happen at Pop Culture Network store.
Never.
No, never.
Never would.
It doesn't make any sense. That's like the most backwards way of doing anything.
I know, it's crazy. I don't get it. All right, so we got a couple other random stories we'll go and read through real quick since everybody took the time to post these. CXB452 writes, I bought the variant copy of Captain America number 25 from Wizard. I did not receive it for 3 months. Emails followed by multiple phone calls, all of which told me that the item had been shipped. I ultimately ended with me calling the Better Business Bureau, and suddenly the book showed up at my house via UPS. I checked the tracking number, and it showed the book had only shipped 4 days previously. Never buy from Wizard.
Oh my god, I have so many stories about Wizard. I had the same problem. Let me tell you why that happened was Wizard was downsizing their entire staff. I got all the numbers I could find to the Wizard's office, and I called every single number until I got somebody on the phone.
Really?
And the lady went on to tell me that they had fired everybody from the shipping department in the store. The people that worked reception would go back when they had free time and package out some orders, or they would just hire some kids over the weekend just to try to fill some of these orders.
Yeesh.
They said half the products we have listed, we don't even have in stock. We don't have anybody to like take them off the website.
What?
We just pretty much fill the orders as best we can. And since we only have a kid working a weekend, you know, one shift a week, we're not getting many orders out.
Oh my god!
And so that's kind of why that was happening.
How does?
And then eventually, you know, I placed a couple $100 order, and I got after 2 months of tracking them down, they finally shipped my order, and I got half what I ordered. The rest had to be refunded, and that took forever. But yeah, and since then they closed down their store because of it was just going
downhill. That is terrible. I don't understand how.
Well, Wizard was having so many financial problems. That's kind of why they stopped the Wizard magazine.
They just couldn't
keep staff.
So. That is terrible. God.
And it sucks because they had like the best stuff listed on their site.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody knows, like if you were at their site, they always had all these like variants and cheap toys, and it's just but you couldn't get them.
So it was pointless to even have them listed. All right, next one is from Gundam Warrior. He says, for the past week, I've tried to fix my 2011 Masters of the Universe subscription, but it's been one of the most frustrating situations I've ever had to deal with. Totally feel your pain on this one. He says, my card information was stolen, and I had to replace my card, so therefore, I had to replace my card information with Matty Collector. I was told at first to wait for my new card. I did so, and I called to have my new card information updated, and the operator said that this month's figures, Manny Faces and Megator, would be fine, and I should receive the confirmation notices. They never know what they're talking about when they say that.
They really
never.
Don't.
He says, that never happened. I also tried to fix my information for next year's 2012 subscription, and that still didn't happen. The third time I called, I was again told that this month's figures would go through in 24 hours. This is not the case, and still, my information for the 2012 has the incorrect information. However, none of the systems were working to fix these problems. I was so paranoid about losing the chance for next year's subscription, I made another order on my new card just to make sure I didn't get screwed. I wrote an email again explaining my plight, and I was told I couldn't get a refund on the first order I made, and still, there's no update on my Manny Faces or Megator. I shouldn't have to go through this much trouble for my He-Man figures. I want my Manny Faces and my Megator on their way right now. This is why I got the subscription to guarantee my figures.
Wow.
I absolutely feel your pain. I have no idea why that stupid company can't update addresses or card information. That's the same problem I have when I try to update my address. I don't get it. They are dumb. They are so, so dumb. So I totally feel for you.
Their system is totally, like... First of all, they should have an account. You have an account where you should go in there and update yourself online.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, and you would think that it would be that easy, but nope. You can't do that.
You have to call them.
You have to call them, and they just...
Yeah,
it's okay, it's taken care of, it'll be fine. And then it's,
hang
of course
up,
it's not.
And
yeah.
Then sometimes they'll write it down on a pad of paper, and sometimes that pad of paper makes it to the back. Sometimes it just falls in the garbage.
I don't get it. I have no idea why that company is so terrible.
Maybe they just have no idea what you're talking about. They're like, okay,
yeah,
we got it.
Probably. They never seem to understand anything you're saying when you talk to those people. Every time I've called that customer service, it's like I have to start screaming at them because they're just like, they just want to read their scripts the whole time. Yes, I am very, very sorry that you're having these problems.
I would
sir.
Like,
it's like,
they
no,
should
you're
do,
not actually listening to me.
They should do a reality show of that place.
just to see what's
yeah,
going on.
Yeah, just a reality
right
show
there.
Of, like, it's a comedy, right? Obviously.
Oh, man.
Of Digital River.
The place is, God, that place is terrible.
That'd be a great show. I'd love it.
All right.
Crack me up.
Oracle the Wizard also had some problems with Digital River. He says he's had a few bad experiences with them, but actually his first one turned out to be very good. So here's his story. He ordered two Masters of the Universe classics, Orcos and the Molar Skeletor set, after San Diego Comic-Con. He waited a month and nothing came. Because he wanted Orcos so bad, and also wanted that San Diego Comic-Con variation, he ordered two from Toy Wiz. Then, he got those, and still nothing from Maddie came, so he decided to give them a call. After calling them twice, which were very expensive phone calls because he lives in Europe, and they, yeah, you have to pay for them stupid phone calls to their customer service. Says the lady on the phone said that something probably went wrong and that they'd send me the same order all over again just to compensate. This arrived in 2 weeks after my phone call, so I was very happy. 3 months later, guess what arrived? My first order. So in conclusion, I ended up with 5 regular Orcos, 2 of which were free, 1 color change Orco, and 2 of the Molar sets, one of which was free. That was my first experience with MattyCollector.com.
Well, to be fair, and as a shipper, I'll tell you this. Customs to country is a nightmare. We have no, when we ship something from the United States to another country, we have no guarantee and no tracking of that product that is going to reach you in any specific amount of time. I could ship something to UK, I could ship 10 things, and all 10 things will get there at different times to the same location, because they have to pass through our customs.
Yeah.
They have to leave our customs and into the other country's customs, and they don't necessarily let that product just go right through. They spot check things. I've had things show up, you know, almost 2 months later, and I ship the same, like, 2 boxes. One will go there. Like, generally, when I ship something, it takes about 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to reach another country. But there are times it could take up to 8 weeks, because for whatever reason, customs holds that item for undisclosed amount of time and do whatever they do with it. They might, I guess they just spot check them and then they ship them out. So, and it's like, there's nothing I can do. I can't right. track it. I can't trace it. I can't find out where it's at. There's no, it just doesn't exist.
Right.
I don't know why it's so complicated, but it is. And when you order stuff out of the country from the United States to, you know, there, it's just, I guess their postal systems aren't as good as ours. And it's just,
I don't know.
I usually find UK and Canada are, Canada especially is like perfect. There's no problems, but UK is sometimes iffy. Everywhere else is it's a crapshoot, especially down south. You send it down to South America, you know, that stuff gets stolen. You know, who
right.
knows? You never know.
Well, yeah, you've had how many? Was it Brazil that you always? Had
oh yeah, Brazil is like Brazil is not so bad. Like Mexico is getting all the Venezuela and Peru and all them. It's getting Ecuador's starting to get a little questionable. Italy is extremely bad.
Really?
Yeah, and you wouldn't
Italy?
Think so.
Wow.
Japan's great. Canada's great. UK's mostly good.
So we've ordered a lot of things from Japan.
Japan, yeah.
And they always get here really quick.
Yeah, we
that stuff gets here quick.
We can get their stuff, because our customs will clear it out quick. It's just their countries, for whatever reason, is the problem.
Huh. It's really weird.
And I think it's because our system is just so good that when we receive stuff good, it's just shipping out is not that great. And, you know, so when you order stuff from the United States, hey, you're taking a risk. You're going to get your item eventually. It's just, so if you don't get something, you know, in a couple of weeks and you wonder why, it's probably because the customs is holding the item for whatever reason.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then you'll get it eventually. And that's why you got two, because they held it and they finally released it and then you got it. And of course, you know, Mattel or Digital River and sometimes me, I get screwed basically. And then you eventually get your item.
Yeah. Yeah.
So crazy. Shipping, all you people that sell on eBay, and now thinks the eBay and PayPal's rules about if you can complain, you get your money back, no questions asked. It's impossible, man.
Yeah, that sucks. That's
I hate international shipping, but I love you international customers. you pay good money.
All right, the next story is from JJB 1011 JJB. This one's actually an eBay story. I'm sure there's tons of eBay stories out there. So, he says, I got a story about my G.I. Joe Terrordrome. I was on eBay and I found a complete Terrordrome. I placed a max bid of $50. And I won it for $30 plus $30 shipping, so $60. So I thought that was awesome that I got a Terradrome for $60.
For sure.
The guy had okay feedback. It was around 98, so it was good, and I wasn't worried. He had a few bad deals, but, you know, it was fine, so I went ahead and I sent the payment. 2 weeks later, nothing showed up, so I sent the guy a very polite message asking where my stuff was. He gets back to me within a few hours, saying that he's sorry, that he had to move, and he'll ship it ASAP. So I replied thanking him, and I waited again.
Hey, by the way, everybody on eBay is moving all the time.
Yeah, right. So he says, through the next week, there was still no shipment, and the guy's I noticed that the guy's feedback dropped a full 10% and went into the red. So I don't know. So I didn't know what to do, so I messaged him, and there was no reply. So, at this point, I opened up a buyer protection case against him, and he doesn't respond. So I say I'm done with this, and I escalate it to customer service, and 3 days later, I got a $60 refund from PayPal in my account. So I won. But now this guy is suddenly no longer an eBay member.
He could have, you know, so he could have gotten an accident, man.
Yeah, or you never know.
He could have died.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
or,
you never know.
You know, or something like that. If he had good feedback and had a high number, something dramatic happened to that guy.
Yeah, something weird happened.
But thanks to, you know, eBay and PayPal, they completely cover you all your losses. But, you know, I wouldn't go to so far as to say he did something scandalous, although he could have. I guess you got to rate people by their feedback. If they're in the hundreds and the thousands, something dramatic happened to that person. There's no way you just stop. But right. If you only have a handful of items and they're unbelievable deals, you're probably getting screwed.
Yeah.
But so. I had the same thing with those Wuzzles because he had really good feedback too until after we just never got them and never got them and he never responded.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We got our money back, and after I went on there to give him negative feedback, I had noticed that the last three ones, they had never gotten their stuff.
Yeah, they could have got sick, or you know, who knows?
Something happened.
I'm trying to say that, yeah, something. You know, as a seller, I'm thinking.
Right, you just got to look.
There's
got to
be something that happened. That why would you just destroy your business reputation for no reason? For you know, I'm sure you guys didn't spend thousands of dollars. So
yeah, it was only a couple bucks.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was
so
like
something
dollars.
Had to happen yeah. to that person.
Yeah. All right, the last one we have. This one's actually not toy related, but still shipping related. So we'll talk about it. This one's from Jobber. He says, you're not going to believe this, but it happened. I ordered two new Droid 3s from Verizon, and I had them shipped to my house. I was supposed to get them Tuesday, so my wife, who was really anxious about getting her new phone, had me check the status on our shipment. I looked it up, and it says that our package was delivered at 10:06 that day and was signed for by JT's. Needless to say, I went to the door to check, and no package. So I call FedEx and I ask them what the deal was. I get some lady and she says that they'll call the driver and they'll open up a case for a lost package. And that I will receive a call in 24 to 48 hours with an update. So my wife gets a call about 3 hours later saying that the driver was pretty sure that he had the right address and that the guy who signed for it signed my name and it looked like he was about 24 and had tattoos on his neck. Well, here's the deal. I'm 29 and I don't have any tattoos. Not to mention, whoever signed for this package misspelled my name. It's not J Trees. Oh, it's J Trees, not JT's. So I asked to talk to the driver directly. She says she'll contact him and have him give me a call when he's available. 2 hours later, I got a phone call from this jerk. He says that he already delivered it to a house on this road across from the red house. I stopped him right there and said, did you confirm the address? He said, well, the guy was waiting for me and it seemed like he was expecting a package and he signed your name. I said, he misspelled my name, and you didn't even ask him if it was the right address? Needless to say, at this point, I was yelling words that I will not repeat. So then he continues to say that if he is my neighbor, he probably will let me know that he got it. I told the guy, so can you get the package and deliver it to me? He replies, I can go back tomorrow and get it. At that point, I just stopped talking, and I said, let me speak to a supervisor. This is where it gets really ridiculous. I talked to the supervisor, and the first words that come out of his mouth are, my driver delivered the package to your house. I stopped him and said, you mean he delivered it to somebody else's house. Please continue. He then said, I have your signature on file. I stopped him again and said, no, you have someone else's signature on file. I had a lot of attitude at this point, and he becomes very upset at me, so he continues with this. Here's what I want you to do. Call Verizon and have them send you two new phones. Then call the police department and file a claim of theft. I said, so what about my original package? He reassures me that Verizon will send me two new phones. I said, so what you're saying is you misdelivered to the wrong house. didn't bother to check the address, and someone forged my name and has two brand new phones. He tells me that Verizon will shut the phones off, which is complete BS. They'll shut off the service, but the phones are unlocked and any service can be transferred to them. He goes on to tell me he will not be putting his driver in harm's way to retrieve my package. At this point, I hung up on him. My package is valued at over $800. Do you think Verizon is going to cover that and say, yeah, oh well? Needless to say, I called them. I told them the story. They were dumbfounded. So I went to the house. I went house to house until I found the guy who got my package. He tells me it was delivered by a mistake. Yeah, right. He saw a free meal and he took it. I went to FedEx's website today, and their policy says this. We will not be liable for, nor will any adjustment, refund, or credit of any kind be given as a result of any loss of damage, delay, misdelivery, non-delivery, misinformation, or any failure to provide information, except such as may result from our sole negligence. We will not be liable for, nor will any adjustment, refund, or credit of any kind be given as a result of loss, damage, delay, misdelivery, non-delivery, misinformation, or failure to provide information caused by or resulting in whole or in part from the act, default, or omission of any personal or entity other than FedEx, including those any local, state, or federal government agencies. Now you tell me, why do we pay these people to ship our goods?
Wow.
That is crazy.
Well, yeah, I like that story a lot. What's funny is the guy's like, oh, yeah, they misdelivered to me, but I went ahead and tried to forge your name.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been like, yeah, but you signed my name.
Yeah, exactly.
And now I had to call the cops after I got my package.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure for sure you would have got
your stuff. And I just, like, I can't believe FedEx's stance on that, too. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's...
That this guy just said, that dude's standing in his front yard. He's probably waiting for this box. And just walked up to him and had that dude sign for it and walked away. How scary is that?
I guess your driver didn't know you. That one... Yeah, those drivers don't care, man. They gotta move that
They product. Don't care.
Don't
they
just want to deliver ship it FedEx. And get out.
Well, this is just like my stupid digital order package that just shipped to some random dude in Kincaid, Illinois. How does that even happen? That was UPS, not FedEx, but same thing.
Well, if you guys
but
like,
they were at least nice enough to go get it and bring it to you.
That's probably just a random story because you had a bad supervisor. But hey, tip: get to know your mailman, get to know your UPS guy, your FedEx guy. If they come up and give you a package, talk to them. Let them know who you are. That way, if you ever have a problem, you're going to get, you know, some good results out of it.
Right, right.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine we have any problems here. We pretty much know our guys. But we see them every day. But
we see them, every day they're in here.
So, but yeah, just a little tip, especially your mail carrier. Get to know that dude. That will save you some hassle.
I couldn't believe that when I read that. I could just imagine how frustrating that must have been, that whole scenario. Because I know what it's like when you just, like, when you log in to check a package tracking and it says it's already been delivered, and it obviously hasn't been delivered, that automatically just freaks you out. You're just like,
that's gone.
Great, where the hell is my box? Somebody just stole my box, you know? And,
other situations similar to that, I mean, you guys may, I don't know how the mail situation was at your previous apartment complex, but, you know, a lot of must-have key to enter type situations where a package won't fit in the mailbox in the foyer, instead of walking it to the door for, you know, which has the corresponding number, they just drop it on the floor.
Oh, we didn't have that problem.
No, we had bigger boxes that they could stick them in, and they put the key in our box.
Yeah, they had like locked package boxes that they would drop them in, and then they would put the key in our mailbox.
Yeah.
So if we'd open our mailbox and see a key, we knew that we'd go over to that thing to open it up.
Yeah, I've definitely lived in a couple different situations where, you know, the mail person either did not see it as their responsibility to, you know, push that or whatever.
They only have to take it to your receptacle, and they don't actually have to carry it to your door.
Yeah, so
and that's scary, dude. Cause, yeah,
just drop it there. Just anybody that goes in the building,
anybody that walks by can go, oh, box.
But that's what I said, get to know your mailman, because them doing that is definitely a DH move. So
yeah, definitely.
They're just being lazy. But if you get to know them and they're cool with you, they'll actually. Might
tip them, give them Christmas.
They might, give them a Christmas card.
Just treat get your mailman like the pizza delivery.
So that if you ever do have a problem, they can remember you.
And right.
Otherwise, they're like, I don't know, random house? I delivered 4,000 houses today.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. So crazy. Well, hey, guys, thanks to everybody who submitted stories. I mean, there's some seriously crazy horror stories about buying things
online. Words to the wise, don't order from Kmart.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's the lesson I've learned from listening to all this. Kmart.
And don't place an order with Maddie Collector unless you plan on keeping your address and credit card information.
Yeah, exactly. I know. That's what I'm kind of worried about, because I think my subscription for next year, I'm pretty sure my card expires next year.
Yeah, my card's expiring.
So I'm not sure what I'm going to do about that.
Mine expires in November, and I'm afraid I have to get my final ones this year and then update my for next year.
That is so scary, man. God, they got to get that fixed. I hope they do. Sweet. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up today's episode. So real quick, as always, make sure you guys are checking out www.popculturenetwork.com on a daily basis for lots of original content, including shows, podcasts, comic reviews, toy reviews, lots of great things going on there. And also, while you're on the web, why not check out www.shoppcn.com, which is our online store, which carries lots of great lots of great,
great
items,
of things you can buy,
such as toys, action figures, video games, new comic books every Wednesday, lots of DVDs. We have a lot of great things. What's going on new this week at the store, Killen?
Continuing, well, this is actually the first major week of the DC number ones from the new comics that are coming out from DC.
Right.
They're going quick. Probably by the time you're listening to us, they might be gone. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully you can go on there and get a couple if you want the DC number ones.
Super sweet Final Fantasy collector's figures.
Yeah, we got we got those last week, so they're on the store now. We got a lot of G.I. Joes, including the new wave of the G.I. Joe figures.
Yes, the 30th anniversary figures. We
showing
got the first wave.
Yeah, with the new cards. And we got
a lot of loose G.I. Joes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, a lot of loose ones.
Yeah, 25th anniversary.
Is just random stuff keeps coming in nonstop. Yep. We have shipments coming in all week of new toys, new products. So definitely
check it out daily.
Check it out.
We got a bunch of Thundercat stuff again, too. A lot of the Forge stuff came back.
We're hitting about 19,000 products. So, you know, check out this. There's something, there's got to be something you like. And if you go and enter ItFigs, ITFIGS, at the checkout code, you'll get 11% off your entire order.
Woo!
So why not help us out, save yourself some money, and for all you nightmare shippers, don't worry. I hand ship all these products.
We got you covered.
I'm very good at shipping.
No horror stories from ShopPCN.com.
I know all these problems, so I make sure to get these orders out quickly, packaged well, and I hate waiting for things, so I'm not talking.
Awesome. So guys,
do it.
Definitely check that out, guys. All right, that's going to wrap things up. So until next week, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Stina.
Dig Dong Rick.
And your Lord Kill.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.